Today we're in the fourth week of a Lenten message series that comes from the Sermon on the Mount, which is a collection of teachings that Jesus used to really paint a picture of what it looks like to be his disciple. And each week between now and Palm Sunday, we'll be looking at different nuggets of truth that Jesus taught in this great sermon and how they have the power to guide our lives. In the first week, we looked at the Beatitudes, where Jesus talked about how we are blessed. How we are blessed when we work for things such as justice and peace, and how we're blessed even when we're persecuted by others for doing what pleases God. In the second week, we looked at where Jesus told his disciples that they were salt and light. Even as imperfect as they were, that they were making a positive impact on people's lives and their world by just being a disciple. And then last week, our focus was on the word no, of saying no to the temptations that really threaten to sidetrack us and threaten to do damage to our souls. And now for today, our focus is on where Jesus talked about what it looks like to be truly rich. And our scripture reading for today is from the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 19 through 21 and 24 through 34. And today I'll be reading from the Good News translation, where Jesus said this: "Do not store up riches for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourselves in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are. You cannot be a slave to two masters. You will hate one and love the other. You will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. This is why I tell you, do not be worried about the food and drink you need in order to stay alive, or about clothes for your body. After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? Look at the birds. They do not plant seeds, gather harvest, and put it in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth much more than the birds? Can you live a bit longer by worrying about it? And why worry about clothes? Look at how the wild flowers grow. They do not work and make clothes for themselves, but I tell you that not even King Solomon, with all his wealth, has clothes as beautiful as one of these flowers. It is God who clothes the wild grass, grass that is here today and gone tomorrow, burned up in the oven. Won't he be all more sure to clothe you, what little faith you have? So do not start worrying, where will my food come from, or my drink, or my clothes? These are the things that pagans are always concerned about. Your Father in heaven knows what you need. Instead, be concerned about everything else with the kingdom of God and what he requires of you, and he will provide you with all of these other things. So don't worry about tomorrow. It will have enough worries of its own. There is no need to add to the troubles each day brings." Let's pray together. Lord God, we ask that you would speak to us through these words of yours and through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. Give us ears to hear, hearts open to receive. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, an elderly man was critically ill when he asked to see his doctor, his minister, and his closest business associate. As the three of them gathered around the men's bed, he said to them, "I know they say you can't take it with you, but who knows for sure? So I'm giving each of you an envelope with $100,000 in cash in case I need a little spending money on the other side." A few days later, the man died. On the day of the funeral, the doctor, the minister, and the businessman all slipped an envelope in the deceased man's pocket. A few days later, the three got together for coffee to reminisce about their friend. The doctor said, "I have to confess, I treat so many people without health insurance that I took $20,000 from the envelope before I put it in the casket. The minister, with a guilty look, said, "You know, we're trying to open this homeless shelter, and I took $50,000 from the envelope before I put it in the casket." The businessman, with a grin on his face, spoke up and said, "I can't believe you fellows would do a thing like that. I took the whole $100,000 and wrote the old man a personal check." Why is it that we use money and wealth as a measuring stick for so many things? We all know that money comes in kind of handy, and it has the ability to make our lives more comfortable. When we're blessed financially, it gives us options. We can buy a nice place to live, or maybe even a place on the lake. We can buy nice cars and take vacations and send our kids to great schools. We can travel and buy toys and tickets to concerts and sporting events. Go Orange. With money, we can help out worthwhile charities and make a difference by giving out of our abundance. But there's a great danger to money, because money can own us. It can become the focus of our attention and steal our hearts and make us selfish. St. Paul puts it this way in 1 Timothy 6:10. "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." And in our scripture reading for today from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts it this way: "Don't store up riches for yourself here on earth, where moth and rust can destroy and robbers break in and steal. Instead, store up riches for yourself in heaven, for your heart will always be where your riches are." A couple of things here. I think first it's important to remind ourselves of this, that everything we have, all of our material resources, and even our very life, is a gift from God. Nothing is guaranteed, not even your next heartbeat. What we have 1 minute is not guaranteed the next. Just a few weeks ago, the Dow Jones Industrial Average was getting close to 30,000. And on Wednesday, it sank to under 20,000, a 30% drop in just a few weeks. It's easy to let fear get the best of you and forget that what is really important has little correlation to what's in your 401k. And Jesus says something about fear and worry a little further down in our reading for today, and we'll get to that. But for now, I want you to remember that while you may own different kinds of investments, the most important thing is not to let your money own you. Little side note from Warren Buffett, who wrote this: "The stock market is a device to transfer money from the impatient to the patient." Well, in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the story of this wealthy farmer who was so successful that he had to tear down his barns and build bigger barns just to store all that he harvested. In other words, he had far more than he needed. And he thought to himself, "I have all that I need for many years so I can kick back, drink, and enjoy myself." No mention here of sharing with those in need. But in this story, God said to this wealthy farmer, "You fool, this very night, you're going to have to give up your life. And then who's going to get all of these things that you've kept for yourself?" "The state of New York," the man replied. I added that part. Jesus concluded, "This is how it is with those who pile up riches for themselves but are not rich in God's sight." You know, whatever you have, be a little or a lot, is a gift from God. And when you're gone, it'll go to someone else. So don't let money own you. Focus instead on being rich in God's sight. A little further down in our reading for today, Jesus said this: "Do not worry about the food and drink that you need in order to stay alive, or clothes for your body, or toilet paper that's running low." I added that. "After all, isn't life worth more than food? And isn't the body worth more than clothes? I mean, just look at the birds," he said. "They don't plant seeds. They don't gather a harvest and put it in barns, yet your Father in heaven takes care of them, and aren't you more valuable than birds? Can any of you live any longer by worrying about it? You know, we need to hear this, especially with all that we've faced in the last few weeks. We're now living in a time where we're really not sure what's coming next. We don't know how long this virus will be hanging around. We don't know how long we'll be limited to doing online worship. We don't know if the market will crash or rebound. And so it's easy to let all that stuff worry us and really rob us from the joy of just being alive. And Jesus says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest. Aren't you worth more? Jesus said, look at the wildflowers. They don't work to make clothes, but I tell you, not even King Solomon with all his wealth has clothes as beautiful as these flowers. Jesus said, can any of you live longer by worrying about it? Let me attempt to paraphrase Jesus. Chill. Let your faith be bigger than your fear. Being rich has a lot more to do than just the size of your barns. And a little further on in this sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount teaches about prayer, what we know as the Lord's Prayer. And one really important part of this prayer is when it comes down to worry, and it's where Jesus says this, give us today our what? Our daily bread. Not our weekly bread, not our monthly bread, not bread for life, bread for today. You might remember the Old Testament story about manna. As the nation of Israel was wandering around the desert, they were running out of food and everybody was getting really uptight. And the people were moaning and complaining. And how did God respond? He provided for them with manna, bread-like substance that came with the morning dew. And they were instructed to collect the manna in jars and collect just what they needed for one day. God provided them with their daily bread. But what did some folks do? They didn't follow instructions. And they attempted to store the manna for the next day. And when they went to open the jars the next day, the manna had rotted and it was covered with maggots. God was teaching them the importance of relying on God daily. And it was teaching that God will provide, maybe not what they'd hoped for, but what they actually needed. God was teaching them about living each day at a time and not worrying so much about tomorrow, as tomorrow will have enough worries on its own. During these times when our own lives have changed so dramatically, just a few weeks, during these times where we're really not sure what tomorrow will bring, what Jesus taught in this portion of the Sermon on the Mount applies directly to us right now. The piling up riches on earth and not having a heart for the things of God cares about, that being consumed by worry about the things we can't control, Jesus said, instead, be concerned about everything else with the kingdom of God and what God desires of us, and then trust God will supply us with what we need. I want to close today with these words from the Irish priest Richard Hendrick. And Richard writes this, yes, there is fear. Yes, there is isolation. Yes, there is panic buying. Yes, there is sickness. Yes, there is even death. But they say that in Wuhan, after so many years of noise, you can hear the birds again. They say that just a few weeks of quiet, the sky is no longer thick with fumes, but blue and gray and clear. They say in the streets of Assisi, people are singing to each other across empty squares, keeping their windows open so that those who are alone may hear the sounds of family around them. They say that a hotel in the west of Ireland is offering free meals and delivering to households. Today, a young woman I know is busy spreading flyers with her number through the neighborhood so that elders may have someone to call. Today, synagogues and churches and mosques and temples are preparing to welcome and shelter the homeless, the sick, and the weary. And all over the world, people are slowing down and reflecting. All over the world, people are looking at their neighbors in a new way. All over the world, people are waking up to a new reality to how big we really are, to how little control we have, to what really matters, to love. So we pray and we remember that, yes, there is fear, but there does not have to be hate. Yes, there is isolation, but there does not have to be loneliness. Yes, there is panic buying, but there does not have to be meanness. Yes, there is sickness, but there does not have to be disease of the soul. And yes, there is death, but there can always be a rebirth of love. Wake to the choices you make as to how you live now, today. Breathe. Listen behind the factory noises of your panic. The birds are singing again. The sky is clearing. Spring is coming. And we are always encompassed by love. Open the windows of your soul. And though you may not be able to touch across the empty square, sing. Sing, sing, sing. Let's pray. Lord, teach us that truly being rich has little to do with our positions and our possessions. And it has everything to do with the love and joy that you place in our hearts. Free us from the worry that weighs down our souls and help us to have a song of praise in our hearts for you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.